Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Kathy Kay. I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Thursday, December 19th, 2019. We are reading from the Big Book. We are on page 76, the fourth full paragraph, which begins, "Probably there are still some misgivings." Our readers today are Laura R. on the 12 Steps, Jerry L. on the 12 Traditions, and reading the text are Robin P., Leslie M., and Mo H. The reference numbers for yesterday, Wednesday, December 18th, the 10 a.m. East Coast meeting is 13,846. That's 13846. And for this morning, December 19th, 7th a.m. East Coast meeting, the code is 13,852 or 13852. Our newcomer greeter today will be Penny C., and giving us announcements will be Robin P. Thank you all for your service. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared strength, experience, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition, states, "Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous." I will now ask Laura R. to read the 12 steps of OA.
Great. Thank you, Kathy. This is Laura R., grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Greeley, Colorado. Recovering. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all of our affairs. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you, Laura R., and I will now ask Jerry L. to read the 12 traditions of OA.
Good morning. This is Jerry L. from Louisiana. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA, as such, ought never be drawn into public, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me serve in our path.
Thank you, Jerry L. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers, 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press *1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press *1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book on page 76, the fourth paragraph down. I will now ask Robin P. to get us started.
Hi, thanks so much. This is Robin P. I'm a very grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Vero Beach, Florida, and grateful to be on the meeting today. Probably there are still some misgivings. As we look over the list of business acquaintances and friends we have hurt, we may feel diffident about going to some of them on a spiritual basis. Let us be reassured. To some people, we need not and probably should not emphasize the spiritual feature on our first approach. We might prejudice them. At this moment, we're trying to put our lives in order, but this is not an end in itself. Our real purpose is to fit ourselves to be of maximum service to God and the people about us. It is seldom wise to approach an individual who still smarts from our injustice to him and announce that we've gone religious. In the prize ring, this would be called leading with the chin. Why lay ourselves open to being branded fanatics or religious bores? We may kill a future opportunity to carry a beneficial message, but our man is sure to be impressed with a sincere desire to set right the wrong. He's going to be more interested in a demonstration of goodwill than in our talk of spiritual discovery. I feel like this book is so heaven sent. You know, I feel like so much wisdom in here. And I've gone through the steps a few times, and I've taken people through the steps. And, you know, the whole thing about it is when we're making amends, when to do so, except when to do so with injured them or others. And so, when I was making my list, I was told, this is just making the list. It's not imagining yourself making the amends. It's don't go into step 9 when you're doing step 8. That was so helpful for me because I was so afraid of making the list because I kept imagining how it might go or might not go. And when it keeps it really simple about, I'm not there to proselytize. I'm not there to say, hey, I've got religion. So, you know, anything about comparing or anything off topic. It's just simply keeping it simple. This is what I did, and I'm sorry. And, you know, and then making the amends in whatever way is necessary. You know, I had stolen food from a roommate in college, and I made amends about that. You know, I had, you know, like taken her food and not replaced it, not, you know, but that's still stealing if you eat someone's food and you don't replace it. And, you know, so things like that where I had to go and make amends, or I didn't show up for something because I was hiding in the food. And I got to make amends to people for that. And because I was so isolated and so afraid of people, a lot of times I didn't show up. And so one of my living amends is that I do show up today. When I say I'm going to show up, I show up. And so it's just, but I don't go, you know, proselytizing. I feel like, you know, people say I'm a very positive person now, which is so amazing because in the disease I was not a positive person. And they say, you know, that I shine, and I believe that that speaks for itself. Like, my recovery shines in me. And unless I'm 12-stepping somebody, I don't need to go around proselytizing. That's what I believe this is saying. And that the sentence that really stands out for me is, our real purpose is to fit ourselves to be of maximum service to God and the people about us, to let my actions speak louder than my words, and still let my words speak the way they're supposed to speak, and that our man is sure to be impressed with a sincere desire to set right the wrong. That's what it's about, and that's what the amends are about. So I have a clean slate, and I can live in 10, 11, and 12. So I don't have to ever cross the street. I don't have to be in fear of anybody. It's just freedom. It's like a wipe the slate clean, and which is a wonderful feeling. God bless everybody in your recoveries. I pray that you all have abstinent, blessed days. And thanks so much for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you, Robin P. Okay, I'd like to take a list of names. Could do it one at a time. I'd really appreciate it.
Deborah M.
Jordan L.
Okay, I heard Deborah somebody and Jordan L. That's all I heard. Who was it,
Deborah?
Who was it, Deborah? What was your last initial?
M.
M. Okay. Deborah M., Jordan L., Barbara E.,
Julie
E.D.
Julie E.D.
Bruce E.
Patty.
Okay, Bruce E. and Patty. What's your last initial?
D, as in David.
Okay, great. So here's who I have. Deborah M., Jordan L., Barbara E., Julie E.D., Bruce E., and Patty D. Anybody I missed, I'll catch you the next time around. Please go ahead, Deborah M.
Hi, I'm Deborah M. from Western New York, gratefully recovered overeater. And this is one of the hardest steps I've encountered, continuing to encounter because of pride and, you know, our humility is so important. But just to share a quick story that might encourage the newcomer. When I was about 18 years old, I went out with a man who, a boy, didn't pay for the bill at a restaurant and left. Felt terribly guilty about that over the many, many years. I'm in my 60s. I had given money towards a charity, but as I was doing my steps again with a sponsor that kept coming up because I kept driving by that restaurant, and decided I needed to, my higher power reminded me. I thought, I was recovered enough to know I had to pay attention to that inward nudge and not push it away. Track down who are the owners now of the restaurant. Obviously, it was many, many, many years later, many owners later, and went to the tax office, found out who it was. Was not able to physically contact him, but wrote a letter and sent some money. And I got a phone call back from the owner's son, who had said he was very, very touched and that he read the letter to his father, who was in the hospital. His father said, I want you to send her gift certificates for one of the restaurants that they own now. And so the son called me, explained it, and how touched his father was that I would do this after all these years, explained the 12 steps to him, and the man died within the week. And I learned a lesson about God and myself, not to push away these nudges, that there is a miracle in these amends. I don't know what they are. All I need to do is show up and take the next right action. And I still have new amends I realize I have to make, and I'm going to do it with the courage that God would give us. So thank you so much. It's not as hard as we think it is. It's the fear of fear. So have a wonderful day, everybody. Thank you.
Thank you, Deborah M. Jordan L., please share with us.
Good morning. My name is Jordan L. I am a recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado, and grateful to be on the line with you guys this morning. So I'm a talker. I talk a lot. Bill and I relate a lot on those lines. I'm in sales, and I know how to sell a good line real well. So I my approach to amends, being in recovery in Overeaters Anonymous, and participating regularly in this meeting, and face-to-face fellowship events that I go to, it was very, very important for me to like kind of shut my mouth and really demonstrate what it is that I'm here for today, like what it is that I am, how it is that I'm showing up, you know. So I had a couple of face-to-face amends that I made when I initially went through the steps a couple of years ago, but there weren't very many. It wasn't like some big grandiose thing, which I felt like maybe I had done something wrong. But as I stayed abstinent and as I continued to participate in this, I realized more and more that, like, truly, I have a personal relationship with a higher power today. And the fact of the matter is, like, that higher power is looking after me so, so well. Like, I have this personalized spiritual experience that has completely changed my life. And it, maybe it wouldn't, the same circumstances wouldn't have done the same thing for you, but that's the thing about this relationship that I have with this higher power today. So as far as like making amends goes, my demonstration is much, much, much more, I don't know, important to me, I guess, today. And the way that I show up, and I've become very, very consciously aware of that. and so I continue to practice the way, I know we're not talking about step 12 here, but it's important that I'm able to persevere and continue to practice. so that demonstration of goodwill, and the way it is that I show up to make these amends, like that's truly, truly what shifted my mindset, or what shifted, shifted for me, you know, or at least where the shift began. So that's all I got. Thanks for letting me share, Kathy.
Thank you, Jordan L. Barbara E., please share with us.
Oh, thank you so much for hearing my name. This is Barbara E., a compulsive overeater in Chile, New Jersey. Before I undertake any nine-step amends, I always say a prayer. Higher power, I pray for the right attitude to make my amends, being ever mindful not to harm others in the process. I ask for your guidance in making indirect amends. Most important, I will continue to make amends by staying abstinent, helping others, and growing in my spiritual progress. This was an important step for me, and the word diffident was used in it. I was timid about it, doing it. I didn't know how I would be accepted. Would person slam the door in my face? Would the person be skeptical? I learned from experience and from working with my step sponsor to make sure that I kept the focus on me and what I did, not on what I thought they did that was so heinous. It was very important for me also to remember that as I was doing my nine-step amends, I had to immediately go into step 10, 11, and 12, because sometimes an amend takes time to find the person, or I am a little bit timid, diffident about doing it, but I needed to move forward and to remember that I had God with me and God was going to speak through me. I'm just the ventriloquist dummy sitting on his lap. And I think step 6 and 7 were the pivot point for me. When I really accepted in my heart that God was my creator and God would be with me if I just listened for the soft whisper of his guidance. And I have to say, I have to make a living amends to my son and my husband who live with me 24/7, because I can apologize for being harsh, being withdrawn, being thin-skinned, but the chances are I may do it again. I'll do my best not to, but I will understand that this is a living, breathing document, just like our Constitution was meant to be. And I'm so grateful for the program and that I get to work with other people, because that's when the promises really did start to come true. And yes, the dimmer switch is sometimes low and sometimes high, but I just keep moving forward, because even if I fall on my face, at least I'm going in the right direction. Have a beautiful day. I can't wait to hear the rest of your shares. I pass.
Okay, thank you very much, Barbara E. Julie E. Beach, please share with us.
Hi, this is Julie E. B., gratefully recovered today, and just so blessed. You know, I will have to say for newcomers and those still going through the steps that I never forget walking into a meeting, very early 12-step meeting in a different program, but I walked in and they were talking about amends, and all I could think is, I'm a piece of crap, I'm a horrible person, and I got to, you know, apologize for existing. So number one piece of advice, which I try and stay out of the advice business, number one piece of experience, strength, and hope is work the other eight, get the other pieces in place. And if I'm struggling with this one, I need to go backwards to 7 and see if I'm willing that God would have good and bad, because if God would have, my higher power would have good and bad, everybody else will take good or bad also. And so anyway, still some misgivings. The part that I really liked in here is that, hey, we're trying to, at the moment, we're trying to put our lives in order. And so that's a very clear and simple directive. My life was so disordered. I remember one day on the line someone shared, you know, that their problems would pile up. And they described that as, on this line, as, just like going through fast food and throwing the bag in the back of the car. They just pile up. Everything piled up in my life, but I'm putting my life in order. I entered the amends process with a legal sheet of amends, and today every single one of those is off the list. And within my two-week amends period that I did, all but about four or five of them were gone. But this is not an end in itself. Our real purpose is to fit ourselves to be of maximum service to God and the people about us. And it's so powerful, I guess, what I really want to say. Now, I'm fitting myself, fitting ourselves, we're doing it together, to be of maximum service to God. This is so different. If you go back into the text and look up the word justify, and you look it up in the, you look it up in the more about alcoholism, the word justifies in there. And I looked up the word justify, and what it meant was, it was talking about the absurd justifications we use for going back to our substance. And I looked it up, and it said, you take the text and you fit it between the lines. And that's what I used to do. I used to try and take whatever's happening, whatever I was doing, whatever craziness was going on in my head, in my thinking, and in my food, and I would justify it. And the other one is to make an excuse. And it says, hey, we might have huge justifications. Some of us have had pain beyond bearing. But we'd always fit it inside the lines. And then the other meaning of justification is to make right with God, to make right with our higher power. Well, here we're trying to fit ourselves, not in the way I used to fit myself into the world, by trying to figure out what people wanted from me and manipulating by being that. But now I'm going to fit myself to be a maximum service to God by truly being me and letting God remove these things as I go to them with a demonstration of goodwill. And certainly with people in my life for a long time, my sister, who's still in her substance and called me disturbed on Saturday, we had a long conversation. I don't have a lot of relationship. I can't with her right now. But she texted me the next day and said, I kept waiting for you to get angry or upset. I can't believe how much you've changed. And she's been in these 12-step rooms for 30 years, and I pray God she'd be free any day now. Thank you.
Thank you, Julie E.B. Bruce E., please share with us. Press star 1, Bruce, to unmute. Okay, I think maybe we lost Bruce E.
Yeah, it's Bruce.
Oh, okay.
I'm here. Yeah.
Great.
Apologize for the delay. And thanks, everybody on the line. Thanks for allowing me to share here. And hope you can hear me okay. It's a little windy where I am. Emergency vehicle in the background here. So I'm in Florida. And I'm recovering here. I like everything in this book, but this is neat here. Diffident. We may feel diffident about going to some of them on a spiritual basis. So I heard earlier that diffident means timid, and it sure is not easy, but it sure does reap some benefits. I notice here it says on a spiritual basis, so even though we're not going to go to them and come all on to them about how I changed and how I found God and how I got saved and all that, and that's why I'm doing it, we're not seeing that, but it's still a spiritual event, you know, so I guess everything in this, every step is a spiritual step. To some people, we need not, probably should not, some people it says, need not, probably should not, emphasize spiritual nature on the first approach. So I have to be really, really careful about coming out on the spiritual thing to people, whether it's in amends or in the program. Some may really take exception to that, and then I blow the whole thing all apart, blow it up. It says on the first approach, though, I guess with time, you know, we can emphasize with time we've had a spiritual awakening, but we got to be careful on this first time here. We got to remember what we're doing here. All right, we're doing amends. We're not coming on to somebody to try to get them saved here or tell them how we got saved, so that we might prejudice them, so we aren't thinking difficult things about this whole thing. At the moment, we're trying to put our lives in order. Man, that's what I am trying to do on every step. Every word of this book that I'm reading, I'm trying to put my life in order. Man, I got a lot of work to do. God's got a lot of work to do. But this is not an end in itself. In other words, this isn't the end of the thing. You know, just doing this step, we don't have it over. It's not a one and done on this one. All right? We got lots of work to do yet. But this is not an end in itself. Our real purpose is to fit ourselves to be of maximum service to God and the people about us. I found out in this program that everything I do, I want to be fitting myself to be of maximum service to God. You notice it puts God first, to God and the people about me. So whether it's people in this program, my wife, my kids, going out to dinner tonight with a lot of relatives, I need to be of maximum service to them tonight. Pray about this thing before I go. You know, be a good
time.
Yeah, thank you. And I pass.
Thank you, Bruce E. Patty D., please share with us.
Hi, this is Patty D., compulsive overeater in Matthews, North Carolina. Thank you, Kathy, for your service. I really appreciate what the reader shared this morning about how her sponsor told her that she wasn't supposed to really think about what it was going to be like to make these amends, but instead just make the list. Because I remember being so fearful and thinking about that. Oh, how am I going to be able to do this? But I just wanted to share, when I did my first step 8 with the amends, one of the things that I had a huge resentment about was losing a job in 2016. I'm a nurse. I had never, ever lost a job. And I have a chronic disease, and it caused me to lose this job. I wasn't able to concentrate, and would be forgetful of things, and I had to deal with the fact that I had lost this job because of that, and my inability to be honest with myself and others about the impact of this disease on my life. And I took that job without being honest about it. And so I ended up having to write a letter to my supervisor as my amend. And in my letter, I told her that I had felt resentment about losing the job, even though she had given me so many chances and offered so much help, but that my pride prevented me from accepting help from others, and that my dishonesty with myself had prevented me from being honest about my chronic illness. And I apologized, asked her forgiveness, and just sent the letter off. And I had applied for disability. And no one ever gets disability the first time they apply, and especially for the disease that I'm dealing with. 6 months after I applied the first time, I was granted disability. Everyone told me what a miracle it was. I knew who was responsible. And I felt that it was a direct result of working the step and being honest about all of my resentments, but especially about this one. And as another sharer said, God works miracles if we work the steps. And so I would just want to encourage any newcomers, just hang in there, trust the program, trust your higher power. This works. And it gets you free. So thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Patty D. Okay, we have time for five more names, please. Who would like to share?
Penny C.
Penny C. Anyone else?
Marcella M.
Marcella M. Anyone else? Okay, we'll go with those two, and then I'll invite more names of people who may want to share. Penny C., please share with us.
Thank you, Kathy. This is...
Penny, I can't hear you.
Trouble with unmuting. Good morning. Thank you, Kathy. This is Penny C., recovered compulsive overeater from the Boston area. This morning on the earlier meetings, a member made a comment that I thought was worth repeating here, and that's that, you know, don't go out and start making amends until you've done the other steps, that we can cause more harm sometimes if we try to do that. And so I concur that, you know, these steps are in order. We hear this all the time. They're in order for a reason. We certainly can't go out and make amends to someone we despise. It's not going to work. And so what I wanted to read is something I found from a member on an OA online meeting, not a telephone meeting, and it speaks to that. It says, remember, the word amend has a second definition besides setting right the wrong. To amend a document is to make a permanent change to it. So in making amends, we not only are we to right all such matters to the best of our ability, but we also change and stop doing the behavior that brought about the harm to begin with. You cannot make amends for things you still do. We can't call it old behavior if we're still doing it. We must move away from our old habit of apologizing for something, but then doing it again. Our changed actions will speak louder than our words. And that's another comment that was made this morning about, you know, it's our actions. This chapter is into action, and it's our actions that speak a lot louder than words. Another member quoted St. Francis of Assisi, who is noted to say that, you know, go out and teach all nations, and if you must, use words. So it's so important that, you know, we get through those steps, that we do the first three steps, hopefully with the recovered sponsor, and we have a concept of who God is, and we believe that God can return us to sanity, and then we make the decision to go through the other steps, and we from the resentments that we've built up, and then we ask God to remove them. And once we can trust, and we can, if we do the work, we can trust that God will remove them. And then we go out and do the list and make the amends. Thank you for listening, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Penny C. Marcella M., please share with us.
Good morning, visionaries. My name is Marcella M. I'm recovered compulsive overeater. So, the amends. I read this chapter with my sponsor, and she came up with five different kinds of amends. The very first one is prayer. We use page 552 to pray for every single one of the people, places, and things in my list that I was resentful against. So 2 weeks of praying for, you know, the people that I thought have wronged me, you know, praying for their well-being, their happiness, their all kinds of benedictions and all kinds of blessings, making believe that I was wishing those things until I felt it. So 2 weeks of prayer. Then we proceeded with letters. Then we wrote a document. This is what I did wrong. Not sorry, I'm sorry, or please excuse me. No. This is what I did wrong. And then followed by the question, what can I do now? Right? And it was just the letter. Without some of the letters, we sent. Some of the letters, we didn't. then the letters that we were going to send, or sometimes I was going to bring them, was followed by them. Oh, first the financial amends. I thought that I didn't owe any money to anybody, but then I realized that I have eaten too much out of the planet, so that gave me a different perspective about my attitude towards money. Then the face-to-face amends. I bring my document, the letter that I wrote, after having prayed for that person for 2 weeks, and then I say to their face, this is what I do wrong. What can I do now? And is there anything else that you need to discuss? And then I sat down and listened without replying, without saying, but you did this and you did that. No, nothing. No excuses, just listen. Then I went home, and then I proceeded to do the most difficult amends of all, which is the living amends. And that's where I am right now, in living amends, in the spirit, like, it's not that the universe owes me anything. People didn't do anything to me. It's not that God owes me an explanation. It's the total opposite. I am in debt with the universe. Am I in debt with my fellows? I'm in debt with the creator that created me, sustained me from my addiction, recovered me, and is keeping me alive here today with you. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Marcella M. We have time for maybe two more shares. Does anybody want to share?
Amanda B.
Okay, I heard Amanda B, I think it was. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. And there was one other I heard.
Sandra M.
Sarita L.
And was that, who was the other one?
Sandra L.
Sandra L. Is that right?
M as in Mary.
Okay, I don't know if we'll have trouble with you. Time for you, we'll see. Okay, Amanda B., please go ahead. Amanda, press star 1 to unmute. Amanda?
Yes. Hi, this is Amanda B., grateful, recovered compulsive overeater in Houston, Texas. And yeah, I want to say that step 9 has brought about miracles, and I was skeptical. I didn't believe it could happen. You know, what really impresses me about this paragraph is that it says our real purpose is to fit ourselves to be of maximum service to God and the people about us. I made amends to my son the other day, and it didn't go at all the way I had expected. He seemed kind of confused about why I was making it, and very uncomfortable, but it was a day later he started asking me about the 12 steps and what they are, and it clicked for him what I was doing. And there had been just a wall between us. I felt like I couldn't reach my little boy anymore. He's 11 years old, and he started crying, and he admitted to me that he had been hurting me by the way he treated me, and it was wrong, and he knew he shouldn't treat me that way, but he was scared. I was trying to send him to a new school, and he's had to change through a lot of schools. And I thought it would be the best thing for him. And I really felt like I needed a break from trying to teach him at home. And he broke down in tears, and he admitted that he had really enjoyed being home with me. And I felt like God was saying in my life, you know, tear down that wall. And I had my little boy back, and I know that it's it's just the beginning, and that my living amends to him will be the way that I treat him and respect him and encourage him from now on. But that is, it's a miracle, because I was praying God changed him and God changed me. I didn't know that's what needed to happen. And with that, I passed.
Thank you, Amanda B. Okay, we only have time for 1 2-minute share. So I believe that's Sandra M. Did I get your name right, Sandra? Is there a Sandra M or a Sandra L?
Can I be heard?
Who is this?
This is Sandra M, as in Mary.
Okay, Sandra, you're our last share. Please take 2 minutes.
Thank you. Hi, I'm Sandra M. from New York, just checking in, gratefully abstinent. My first go-around with amends was really, it was sort of like this process of, what can I clean up? How can I clean it up? And sort of this idea of like, oh, this is great, I'll just clean it all up. And then as I sat there across from other people and really took that humble space and that quiet space of listening, I really heard how my selfishness really hurt people, because I really swore that I was right. I was right that my mother had harmed me, for telling me she was never going to love me the way she loved my brother. I was, totally right at making having resentments towards friends and even fellows or, past jobs that had fired me because they were toxic environments, they were disrespectful, they were abusive, whatever it was. And then I learned what the definitions of selfish meant, not seeing other people's point of view, perspective, needs, or problems, wanting things my way, not trying to be a friend, wanting people to take care of me and my dependency needs. Wanting to be liked and look good. What was dishonesty? I was expecting others to be something that they're not. I was lying to myself, stubbornly holding on to things that were inaccurate, beliefs that were inaccurate, not living in reality, also not seeing where I set the ball rolling. And then my actions of self-seeking, I wanted revenge, or I was character assassinating people internally, externally to build me up. That false identification of security and really acting out to fill the void, that I was unlovable, that I was not good enough, that, no amount of food was gonna cover, because, I was either eating everything or absolutely nothing. And thank you.
Okay, you can finish your sentence if you like.
That's okay.
Okay, thank you very much, Sandra. We will now close with the meeting with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer with Leslie M. Please read A Vision for You. Our book is
Morning. Meant to be
suggestive only.
Good morning, Kathy K. I am Leslie M., a recovered compulsive overeater from Long Island, New York. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you.